Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talked to several people working to make sure that St. Patrick's Day is not a repeat of what happened back in September. Managing a firm but fair celebration is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Homecoming. What does that word conjure up in your mind? Is it a good time watching football at Alumni Stadium and celebrations of Griffin Pride at the University of Guelph campus? Or is it the sight of noisy young people raising hell in residential neighborhoods, keeping you up all night, and leaving an awful mess for others to clean up the morning after? After the last homecoming this past fall, chances are it's more the latter than the former, and going into another special occasion this coming weekend, where there's a lot of drinking involved, representatives of the city and the University of Guelph are dedicating themselves to not having a repeat performance. From local town halls to meetings of the Town and Gown Committee to the Nightlife Task Force, stakeholders have been trying to persuade residents that a repeat of homecoming will not happen again. Police have been proactive with a firm but fair message, the university community has been trying to mend fences with neighbors, and Mayor Cam Guthrie has promised that there will be no mercy for people hosting parties that get out of hand. The message is that things have changed, but a St. Patrick's Day celebration on a Saturday will be the first big test to see if things really have changed, and if the people hosting the parties understand that sometimes you can go too far. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, I talked to four different stakeholders about the work that's been done since homecoming on getting the party scene back in line, and their expectations on how things will be tested this coming Saturday. From the Guelph Police Service, we've got Chief Jeff DeReuter. From City Council, we've got Ward 5 Councillor Kathy Downer, who also sits on the Town and Gown Committee. We've also got Catherine Hoffer of the U of G Student Life and of the Nightlife Task Force. And last but not least, we've got Kayla Whaler, the Vice President External of the Central Student Association. Their powers combined, I hope to paint a picture of what lessons they've all learned from what happened at homecoming and how those lessons are being applied to not just St. Patrick's Day, but future homecoming events as well. They talk about what went wrong, how they hope to change things, and the various factors that led to the biggest test of town and gown relations in the city of Guelph in years. This isn't about the blame game, but a question of what we all have to do better in order to not let things get so out of hand. And I think, as you'll learn, we all have a part to play. So I caught up with my panel earlier this week. I wanted to first ask about the, you've made a very clear definition, or you've made a very clear message that the police want to be firm but fair on St. Patrick's Day. But how do you define firm and how do you define fair?
It's a great question. Certainly officers have discretion. One of the things is we know that on a day such as St. Patrick's Day, there are, for whatever reason, there's violations of various acts, particularly the Liquor License Act. And it's important, I think, to set a message that those that want to take part in the activities of the day are forewarned that if they're walking around down the street with open alcohol, that the consequences will likely be that they're charged, as opposed to other options where, you put that away or something. We need to send a message that there are not exceptions on this day, and we'll have a firm approach because our community, I think, is expecting it. The fair part is this isn't meant, we recognize the value of our students and the fact that, by and large, they behave well and that compliance is an important part of it, but will be fair in how they deal with them, but they will be forewarned knowing what the consequences will be for breaking the laws and certainly to ensure that we have a safety.
Did you feel any particular pressure given what happened at homecoming?
But I would say there is certainly one of the things that when, and I was out Chancellor's Way in our community for homecoming, and one of the things immediately that comes to mind is this something that is going to be the trend? And when we look at other communities, and I've spoken with chiefs in other communities, we see that there is this trend to in how these days are the activities that take place on them, and a greater trend towards things such as street takeovers. And they present a significant challenge for our community, our resources, and a greater potential of danger to our community, and whether it's in the activities that happen there or overindulgence. And so I think our community was concerned because of the resources that we had put on Chancellor's Way, where they saw some activities that normally we would have been better able to respond to. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more to stop a trend of, you know, it is fine, we want you to enjoy the day, and we're not the party poopers.
Right.
And it using a very slang expression. But what we want you to do is recognize that there are rules, there are communities that are greatly impacted, and our expectations that this is not a day that all rules go out the window and you can just do whatever you want in our community. And I think it's an important message, and we don't want it to be that we're in such a crisis stage where we're not able to handle it. And so I think it's important to get a message across, not only for our those people that will be enjoying St. Patrick's Day, but the rest of the community that, you know, we do have order, we have laws, and we're going to ensure that the best we can manage it and meet the expectations.
Right. You mentioned the surrounding communities, and I'm thinking of Waterloo especially, because they're not doing the whole Herb Street party this year. That's not happening this year. And I would think, and you're the expert, so correct me if I'm wrong, but something like that, where it's kind of contained to one specific area, would be easier for the police to handle versus something. I mean, when we're talking about house parties, I mean, that's going to be all over the South End, you know, wherever students are and wherever people are holding parties.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is certainly one of the theories. And at times, I think it makes sense what you say, is if it's contained to an area. Part of the challenge, and I don't mean to speak for Waterloo because it's their community and I've never been over there, but what they have experienced is growth and exponential growth that they see. And so what happens is people from other communities start going there, and it gets past the point of, you know, there's a great risk where all it takes is an element in the crowd to turn it into something really negative. Mm-hmm. And we already know statistically that, you know, the impact it has on our emergency departments because of the calls for service and the emergency department and alcohol-related incidents, assaults, falls, people are overindulging. And so there's a, you know, the more people that are there, the more these type of things can occur. And you know, I saw a little bit of it at Chancellor's Way, even though it was generally a well-behaved crowd. You know, there was one time when I witnessed a person take, and I just caught the tail end, and you see a beer bottle go flying against a vehicle. And all it takes is something in a negative sort of way for the crowd. Waterloo has experienced that in other communities where there's damage to vehicles, or, you know, the crowd wants to turn it into something beyond just enjoyment and fun. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so important that we, you know, where I appreciate if everybody's in one crowd, you can kind of direct your resources and manage it. It is also too easy for that to become unmanageable. And so even a party, a house party of 50 can become a problem, certainly.
Does the fact that St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday, does that affect how you would plan? I'm leaving aside what happened after homecoming, but just the fact that it's on a Saturday, does that affect how you plan for the day and how the city plans?
Absolutely. It does have some impact. So for us, just the way the resources we have a number of support staff that tend to work Monday to Friday. And so when it's on a Saturday or Sunday, we have less support staff to draw on. We also know that with there being no, you know, regular classes, that if you were sitting there going, what am I going to do today? Am I going to go to class or am I going to go party? It's taking the school part away. Not, you know, obviously there's many people who will still be studying and preparing for the exams and other things, but it's just the potential's there that there are more people, including, you know, and right now I was very specific about students, and this really isn't necessarily a student type day because there could be other young adults that are regularly be working and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to participate and get in on this. So it's just the reality there'll be more, and again, say young adults, not, again, there's some older people that also take part, but generally it's the younger crowd that we see more of the activities related to. So, again, I think we can expect larger crowds. And one of the other negatives that we sometimes get, and we're seeing a little bit more, is some of our younger people, the high school students that are taking part in that. And that's certainly a concern in terms of maybe their experience, but also from a health point of view.
Mm-hmm. I hesitate to ask this because it sounds like I'm casting blame, but I think there's a feeling that maybe something went wrong with homecoming, that, you know, we've had, and I wrote about this before the semester began, and so I felt kind of like a little bit of pie on my face, but that the Safe Semester program seemed to have been doing a fairly good job of containing that kind of, shall we say, revelry. So I'm wondering, looking at it in hindsight, what happened homecoming weekend, was there something that went wrong, or was this just, you know, something that, I don't know, was unexpected, or we have to expect every now and then the program is going to not work the way it needs to?
And it certainly, I could make a number of points on that. By and large, our system has worked very well for a number of years, and we work closely with the city, we work with the university, the Central Student Association, our community groups, and so we've had great success, and where we really see that in is our downtown activities, and our model has worked very well. When it comes to the neighborhoods and homecoming, we had been doing very well, and I'm of the opinion, had it not been for the celebration on Chancellor's Way, we would have been fine. The resources would have been able to deal with what we had. That was a new wrinkle for us. Mm-hmm. And even though we had some information and did some proactive work to try to stop it, it got some momentum beyond, it appears, with the people that try to organize it. It carried on. And that was a new wrinkle for us. And we had to put significant resources. And could we have taken those resources from Chancellor's Way and put them into the neighborhoods, it would have looked differently to people that are living in the neighborhood. So each and every time we have an event, homecoming, St. Patrick's Day, or a five-week safe semester campaign, we do an evaluation, and what we find, there's different trends that we see, and what we see one year differs from other years in terms of what peak nights are. Mm. Used to see Friday, Saturday, and now we see a little more midweek. And so we see this, and so we therefore take different steps and deploy our resources differently. And so I was very proud of how our officers responded to homecoming. I mean, the other thing that we had, it was 30 degrees Celsius at that time, which clearly was a factor. Mm-hmm. And I recall talking to people that opted not to go to the football game because it was just too warm. And so, you know, that was clearly a factor, and that's something even with St. Patrick's Day over the years, and we've seen the last number, you know, 7 or 10 years, a real increase in the activities around there. But where we've had some of the days where the weather's been warmer, we have more activities, more parties, more celebrations that are visible in the community. Whereas when it's been colder or we've had some inclement weather, there's less. So there's a number of factors that come into play. But I don't think we necessarily got it so wrong as the fact that we now have a new thing that we have to respond to, which is the potential for Chancellor's Way. And quite clearly, our message, we want to curb that. And the message for those people that think that they will have a similar party to Chancellor's Way is that we will be out there laying tickets for those people. The same laws apply. You cannot drink outside the buildings, and we will be there. And so we don't want to have a repeat, because, again, I think it there's a negative, a potential for things to occur that will where it can go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, your message is clear to the people holding those parties, but to their neighbors who might be concerned, and maybe looking back at homecoming or, you know, have, you know, some doubts about how the police are going to be able to respond, what are your message to those people?
Yeah, so one of the messages, and we have this every year, is we do hope that if you're experiencing something that is, whether it's about seeing open alcohol or there's people that are urinating on your property or damaging, please do call us. Or if parties seem to be getting out of control, give us a call, because we will have significant staff more than we've ever had working, and we do hope that our response times will be good. And at times, when things get busy, and we kind of know where those trend when those busy periods are, the response time might be a bit shorter. But if we don't know about it from you, obviously we can't respond. We'll have officers, and we'll be out early. One of the things we'll be doing is where we see parties starting, just dropping in and just talking to those people that are organizing the party, just to say, you know, you're aware of the various laws and rules about parties and about the noise bylaw, nuisance party, and just, you know, having respect for your neighbors, so proactively trying to get out there. And I think that's part of the fair part of what we're doing. We're not hoping to go around and lay all kinds of charges.
Mm-hmm.
We rely on compliance, and we really do hope that we get the compliance. And, you know, by and large, when we deal with some of these parties, I mean, the people, they are very responsive to us and are polite, and we do appreciate that. And, you know, I think it's important that, you know, students do not, and again, I'm talking about students, but they don't necessarily get a negative, you know, it's a small percentage that really cause the problems. But so for our community, I think it's important to know that you will see activities, and some of the things you see, they may bother you. Some of the things we can't do a lot about, but for instance, you know, we get calls where people up on roofs, we'll go out and really urge people to get off the roof because of the safety factor. Sometimes people will call us, they just see a group of people going down the street, and this, you know, on Saturday, you can expect to see people in green, and there will be some large groups, and that's okay, as long as, again, they're being respectful, they're not damaging property, they're, you know, following the laws. So the other part for the community is there'll be more and more people out in the community, and we also know that College Royal is going on, so if you're out driving, just be more aware of the fact that there may be pedestrians, and, you know, we encourage those people that are partaking or on their way to parties, certainly stay off the roads and be safe as well. So, you know, we hope that the community sees that we are out and about and that we're responsive, but also you can be our eyes and ears out there. And if you see things that are important for us to know, call us and we will prioritize and ensure that we have the appropriate response.
Have you been hearing from people worried about what's coming with St. Patrick's Day? Have they been, like, proactively getting in touch with you about what might happen or how you might, in your role, prevent what might happen again, given what happened at homecoming?
Okay, so so after homecoming, I don't know if you know, but we had a town hall just on homecoming last November.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 100 people came out. You probably read about it. It was fairly contentious. And we had bylaw there and police and people from the university were there and people got to express what their concerns were. From that, the university put together a working group on homecoming, and then the Town and Gown Committee, which I'm a member of, you know, has been continuing to work on the issue. So we heard a lot of concerns then. We sent out an update a couple of months ago to people had signed into that homecoming meeting. And so we sent out an email update on some of the things that were ongoing. And then a few weeks ago, the McElderry community had a community meeting, and the police were there as well as bylaw. And the people that, and there were a lot of the same people that had come out to the town hall back in November, and some different ones, but again, it was a good crowd. And, you know, some expressed their concerns, but the police got to an opportunity to say what, you know, their plans were going to be for this St. Patrick's Day, and that from St. Patrick's Day, the experience that, you know, these extra new strategies that they're putting in and bylaw that, you know, they'll use the outcome of that to inform them more about what's happening for homecoming next year. So, you know, I've been fairly proactive, and we have sent out this morning, Leanne and I, with my volunteer IT people, we sent out another email to the people who were at the homecoming meeting, and also to, I have an email list of Ward 5 people, I don't know how many are on it, 200 to 300, sort of telling them, sort of St. Patrick's Day, what to expect, so letting them know, about, you know, what's been going on, what additional measures are being put in place, and who to call if you have any concerns. So I think we've been so proactive that I'm not hearing a lot. Since the email went out this morning, I've had a lot of good feedback, saying that this is very helpful and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
And people are hoping for a snowstorm. But at the same time, like I said, as I said at the last public meeting, I said, well, in some ways I don't, because, you know, I hope it's a nice day because, you know, some of the extra strategies people are putting in, the police and everything are working on this, you know, are going to help inform for homecoming. So,
right.
Yeah.
Can you talk specifically about what came out of not just the town hall, but the town and gown committee and any of the discussions you've been a part of? Like, what specifically in terms of the reaction there or the lack of reaction there informed not just what's going to happen on St. Patrick's Day, but what's going to happen next homecoming?
Well, I think that one of the big things that came out of the last homecoming, which was a concern, because the Town and Gown Committee is made up of police, bylaw, the university, Central Student Association, the Graduate Student Association, the zoning, and people like that. But one of the things that certainly came out was that the party at Chancellor's Way had taken 36 officers to try to keep those, you know, that safe and controlled. Also that day, there was a major accident with a death involved and a home invasion. So there were no police resources in the neighborhoods, no police presence at all, because they were all elsewhere. And those parties were still going on, and because it was 30 degrees, it was quite wild. And residences were very concerned. They were afraid, too. Like, you see somebody pass out in the lawn across the road, you don't know whether to call emergency services or if they're just, you know, sleeping it off type thing. So,
right.
You know, there's a bit of angst going on as well. So some of the specific things, certainly the police are going to have a lot of extra officers. If you've spoken to the chief, you know that he has this YouTube message out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will, they've got a Fair But Firm campaign they're launching. So they will be, I think, more strictly enforcing this time, and they're going to have a bigger presence in around the neighborhood. And they came out, even the chief came out to the McAleary community meeting, and they made a commitment to the neighborhoods that they would not, have a presence.
Mm-hmm.
Bylaw is doing a number, you know, they're also going to have, even though this St. Patty's Day is on a Saturday, they're going to have a live person on staff rather than, so that's going to make a difference to, you know, transit. So they've brought transit into it. If transit drivers see anything that they should be aware of, to give them a call. On Saturday, there was a big campaign, door knocker campaign, on who to call campaign, and they had 1,000 door knockers. I think 6 or 7 police officers went out to help deliver those in that McAleary area and in the old university area. There was lots of volunteers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they got these door knockers out, just who to call. And so there seems to be there was a communication strategy between the university, the city, and the police, which, you know, I think has been very good, and it'll be ramping up a bit as the week goes on. But there's other things around homecoming next year that the working group will be looking at, and they'll have a report out later this spring on some of the actions that they'll be taking for next homecoming 2018 as well.
Okay.
Well, a lot of work has gone into it, actually. A lot of, you know, and it's been good. There's been a lot of work between the city and the university and the police around this issue. I think when the city finally, about, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, sort of when the university sort of started taking more responsibility for students, when I was first elected way back when, you know, you talk to the university about this, and they'd say, not my problem, off the university, it's not our problem.
Right.
And then they hired somebody like Catherine Hoffer, who's the off-campus living manager.
Mm-hmm.
And things start to change. And, you know, she goes out and she talks to students and where there's problems, and that's made a huge, huge difference. I do know that Catherine and the police, the community police officer, have also been out visiting properties, that problem properties, where, you know, because it changes every year, but there's always a few problem properties. And they've been proactively visiting those properties as well. And bylaw has been contacting landlords of the problem properties.
Well, that sounds good, and it definitely shows that the city and the university and everyone have been reactive. I do want to ask you about the politics of it, you being a city councilor and all. But I think that there are a lot of people coming out of homecoming who are wondering about remedies in the form of more fines or stricter bylaws. And I did want to get your thoughts on this because some of the parties that were heavily fined as a result of homecoming went to crowdfunding and were trying to crowdfund the resources to pay for those fines. So from a political standpoint, I mean, does that kind of work when the kids kind of turn around and say, you know, we can – you know, if we get, you know, $5 from everyone at the party.
Yeah, we talked about that at the Town and Gown Committee. You know, was that, you know, the crowdfunding, like, is that, like, because certainly the neighborhoods were ticked off about them having done that.
Mm.
At the same time, part of it, like, we were saying, oh, good, they're letting everybody know what a heavy fine this is. And my understanding is that they didn't collect very much.
Mm.
So I think if people know that they're being fined, I mean, certainly at Chancellor's Way, there was $30,000 worth of damage done there.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the building. And so I think, you know, anybody living there is certainly not going to be encouraging the parties. So the other thing that we were concerned about, so this was the first time the city actually, you know, went through with these fines and going through, they've got other people charged to cover costs of enforcement. You know, if you've had a warning at your property once and they have to come back, you can get charged for the cost of the enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And we were nervous about what that would play out like in the courts. And so a lot of people were fairly happy with the large fines for the Chancellor's Way one. I haven't heard about how the other ones have gone through. But it's sort of, you know, for homecoming, I think it's even bigger here than St. Patty's Day. I don't know how they're going to manage it, Ezra Street, because last year,
right,
buses left here for Ezra Street, and we don't have a big problem here on St. Patty's Day.
Right.
But I think there's a lot that'll come out of this to see what can be done around homecoming. I mean, certainly there's ideas floating around all the, you know, local universities having homecoming on the same days. There's talk about more events happening on campus, even ones that serve alcohol. So there's a number of other strategies that are being looked at for homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that answers your question at all. I mean, the fine, it's a positive in that they actually advertised it themselves, that they were heavily fined, and I don't know that it was that successful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it will, you know, time will tell whether Chancellor's Way will become people will want to make it a permanent place for these parties,
right,
or not. Certainly, Chancellor's Way will have to look at that from a liability perspective. The property manager from there is also on the Town and Gown Committee.
Mm.
But they're also looking at extra security.
Okay. I did ask this of the chief, because I think a lot of people would agree that, you know, Safe Semester and Homecoming Falls during Safe Semester has done a fairly good job of sort of keeping the chaos contained for the last several years. There really hasn't been anything like what happened at Homecoming.
No,
And I asked the chief this too, so I'll ask you. Is there a way to take into accounting for when things get bad, or is it just, you know, we kind of have to do our best and 9 times out of 10, it will go as planned? You know, you mentioned the warm weather, and so did the chief for that matter. That's something you can't take into account for when you're planning Safe Semester in May and June.
I think they were taken off barred by this last homecoming. It wasn't just the warm weather was one component of it, certainly. But, I mean, it was all of a sudden the invitation went out for Chancellor's Way and everybody came there, right?
Mm.
And then a couple of, so the police had to congregate there. And so I think they were off guard. I don't think they were prepared. And there was a couple of other major instances in the city. So I think, you know, and I think our bylaw, you know, we've been planning, and you're right, we've been keeping it fairly well contained. And then all of a sudden, something like social media, which is where the party was advertised, has, like, threw everything out, right?
Mm.
So it's like, okay, now, so what was decided after that? Okay, now we need to step up the game and sort of, you know, create a problem. And, you know, I don't want to say, too, that, you know, the students were bad at Chancellor's Way. I mean, I think a lot of them just thought they were on property, they were drinking, they were having a good time. They weren't causing any of the problems. Like, I talked to a couple of students, and when I told them that there was $30,000 worth of damage, they were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that, right? They mm-hmm. were like, really? Like, you know, so if they I don't want to, you know, paint everybody in a bad light that's partying and have a good time, right?
Mm.
It's the mob mentality that goes along with it. So urinating
right.
in people's driveways behind their cars while, you know, families are looking out the window. Like, if this becomes, you know, a bit of a problem then. But I don't want to paint all students. And it's like when they understand, when some, I think, you know, I love the restorative justice too, where damage is done, or if, you know, some parties get out of hand, I think it's good to get students and neighbors together to talk about it, right? Because
mm.
I don't think a lot of, like I said, the youth at the university understand the impact it has on some neighborhoods, how frightening it is for some people, like living by themselves when there's, you know, or seeing people drinking on the roofs. And, you know, there was somebody who fell and sustained a very severe spinal cord injury in London doing that. But that's become a popular thing as well. So it worries neighbors. They worry for the safety of the students, too.
I'll put this succinctly.
Okay.
And forgive me if it seems rude, but did something go wrong with homecoming from your point of view?
I think that something did go wrong with homecoming. Chancellor's Way drew a lot of resources, and although we heard about Chancellor's Way a few days in advance of it happening, that big street party, which wasn't sanctioned, wasn't condoned, it just a pop-up street party, really drew on the city resources. And really, we've worked together with police and bylaw over the past several years around homecoming. This just isn't something that we were prepared for from our perspective in how homecoming played out. A lot of neighborhood residents very concerned about what happened in their neighborhoods and resources, so police resources, all emergency responders. There was a draw to Chancellor's Way and what was happening there, and that took away from the ability to be present and visible and responsive in the neighborhoods.
Does that, I mean, I don't expect you to have facts and figures and everything,
yeah.
but I mean, how much of that was, you know, the students you talked to, and how much of that was just, you know, getting out of control with people just looking for a good time, whether they're connected to the U of G or not? Because as you said, it wasn't sanctioned.
It just kind of
happened.
took on a life of its own. And I think that, talking to police, because they really have the perspective from the day, because they're on the ground and they're there, and they'll be the first to say that, yes, a lot of UG students were there, but there were also a lot of people who just heard about it on social media
right.
and showed up. A lot of people came from out of town. We really saw social media and Uber come into play, people coming in from other cities because they can just, you know, grab an Uber and get to town. So
Nobody was checking student cards at the door.
No, yeah. No. And something that I've learned over time with homecoming too is that, yes, a lot of our students are out in their gear, but a lot of other people can get their hands on Griffin gear and
yep.
U of G gear. And, you know, it's a presentation of visibility of the university. And we recognize that there's a number of those people who aren't actually connected. So it really changes the dynamics, I think, too.
You raise an interesting point, because
there is, I don't know what it is, you know, with comparing it to the U.S. where there's a lot of excitement over the university sports and within the greater community, yeah, too. But I have noticed that uptick here as well, that you see a lot of parents, you know, rocking around UOG gear, a lot of kids, not university kids, but right, the younger, yeah, kids who are, you know, wearing, yeah, Griffin caps, and
there's a lot of hoodies. Griffin pride, and yeah, we have it in our community, and we have it, and I think our athletics department has really been working hard over the last while to kind of make connections with the community, and you see things like junior Griffins with hockey, with volleyball, with soccer, and different sports, and so we do have that connection to the community now, where you see a lot of people, yeah, who aren't students on campus who are wearing the gear, like you said, parents, and I see a lot of elementary school kids walking, yeah, back and forth to school, and they've got their Griffin jacket on from their team that they play with. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that. Yeah.
It does make me wonder if there was an element of disappointedness, because I raised this with the chief and Counselor Downer, that Safe Semester has by and large been working.
Absolutely.
We have not seen the quote-unquote disasters that that homecoming presented. The directions you have taken in the town and gown committee and student life and everybody have been by and large working.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. I think we've had a lot of success, and we've built a lot of collaborative relationships, so working together and communicating. And I think that we're building that again for St. Patrick's Day, and we've got plans coming along for homecoming for next year as well, with always now from the perspective of, will Chancellor's Way happen? Will there be a pop-up street party somewhere else? And knowing that that is a trend across other post-secondary communities, mm-hmm, that's something that that we have to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. I did talk to the others about this as well, but where does predictability, how far does that get? You know, because, we can go by what's happened in the past, but it seems like a number of elements kind of came into play that allowed what happened on Chancellor's Way to happen,
yeah,
and not necessarily those planned for, like the nice weather or,
right,
you know,
right,
other,
yeah,
incidents taking police attention, yeah, away from,
yeah,
monitoring people having a good time.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's an element of being prepared for everything we can think of, but you never know what might happen and what to expect. And I think, I think police, as an example, have put in huge efforts to see, okay, that was, like you said, a lot of resources pulled. So there was a street party that popped up that we didn't know about. We knew it was going to be a busy day with homecoming because there's a lot going on in the community. Mm-hmm. There was a motor vehicle accident. There's a lot of things going on in the community, and police have to be able to be responsive to that. And we had that scenario of, this has never happened before. And I think that now, working from the perspective of, we don't know what's going to happen on St. Patrick's Day, but we have been able to look at homecoming and say, okay, what do we need to do differently? How can we improve this experience for everyone and make sure it's a better experience? And we know that St. Patrick's Day as well, a lot of students do celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It's become one of those days that everybody thinks is, you can get your green on. It's a community-wide piece too. So there's a lot more to think about beyond the university on St. Patrick's Day. I think downtown's going to be busy. It's a Saturday, and lots of people,
right,
in the community like to go out and enjoy themselves on St. Patrick's Day. And so I think we try to foresee, we try to plan, and it's, I think, what's really key is having the communication in place, so that if things happen that we weren't entirely aware of ahead of time or had planned for, that we have the flexibility to work with those things.
Did what happened on homecoming change the calculus for how you planned St. Patrick's Day? Because it was already going to be a big occasion because it's on a Saturday this year.
Yeah, it did. I think we definitely had to look at things differently. I think over the past several years, we've had a pretty consistent approach. I know from the university perspective of our communication out to students in advance of homecoming and St. Patrick's Day, what we do with our teams out in the community. And for St. Patrick's Day this year, we really wanted to get out the message that the police are working from that firm but fair approach. We really want students to know that. So we increased our communication, formalized things for a longer period. So our first email to students about, you know, we don't want to see another Chancellor's Way. We want a safe experience for everyone in the community. Be respectful. Know the consequences. We started communicating with that with students officially through university email last week, with another email going out this week. We're pushing our party education again. So we have, we've had actually made a great video with our Griffin mascot around tips for students in party registration and buddy system and watching out for each other and cleaning up in the neighborhood. That'll be coming out this week, and we'll be putting that out on social media. So we've added pieces in to communicate a strong message to students that we didn't have in the past. So we are doing that piece, and that will help us to build for homecoming as well and see how effective what we're doing this time around is.
I know not all students get involved with the partying, and certainly not every party. What was the feedback from the students that you heard from? You are student life, so I imagine there were a lot of students, and I certainly saw this online too, who were just as mad about what happened because it cast a shadow on all of them.
A lot of students and a lot of alumni who really disappointed with what happened when it comes to homecoming and that experience. And I think that in conversations with students, and we hear it on that popular Facebook group Overheard at Guelph, you see students who do respond and say, you know, this isn't what we want, and we're a respectful community, and this isn't everyone. And we know that the majority of our students are very reasonable and respectful on days like this, and go out in the community and celebrate, but not in a disruptive manner. And we do. We had students actually from our office and off campus living go out with police and neighborhood residents in the McElderry neighborhood this past weekend, handing out door hangers with information for residents about who to call if you do have a concern. And the students that we had out said it was really interesting talking to police and residents as they were walking along, because they said, I didn't realize that people had such a negative perspective on students.
Right.
I didn't realize that people thought this. And I said to these people, you know, like, I don't go out and party like this. This is, and most of my friends don't. So it's an interesting experience for students who don't participate in a way that gets the media attention, that negative media attention.
Right.
Yeah.
But that seems to be almost the only type of intention with these things. It's when you talk to people, and now we're getting anecdotal, but I'll get anecdotal. But when you talk to people who have good relations with their student neighbors, it is the one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
It is introducing yourself and being a neighbor and talking to them as neighbors and not looking them as the fact that they're moving in as a problem.
Yeah.
And I wonder, there's been so much growth in the city. There's, you know, especially in the South End, where, you know, every council meeting, there's another apartment building planning on going up. It seems that's kind of exacerbated a little. It's almost been like a little undercurrent that the whole student slum stereotype, that it seemed like maybe something like this was inevitable. I'm not sure how you feel, but
that's interesting that you use the term student slum, because when I talk to students, I always say, we don't have a student ghetto in Guelph. We don't have what some other communities have. We don't have that neighborhood right next door to campus that's 90% students. What we do know is that we do have a lot of, there are some streets in the middle of a mixed neighborhood that have a majority of students. So you see a conflict in lifestyles that comes there. Back to your point though about that connecting with neighbors in the face-to-face, I think that's a huge piece. And we really try to encourage that when we go out in the fall and do our door-to-doors of connecting with neighbors. I find just from a restorative approach, an approach of connection, people are much more likely to communicate about their concerns and what's happening, and people to be responsive to concerns that are raised if they know who they're talking to, if their neighbors around them are people and not just that person who goes in and out of their car or in and out of the driveway in the front door without saying hello and without connecting and talking a little bit about who they are and being neighborly, really.
And not just seeing the Aggie jacket and making assumptions.
Yeah.
I did ask the chief this about, you know, messages to the residents, because, you know, they're the ones who are driving the concern and they're the ones who, you know, are worried. But for those people who are, you know, not looking, let's say not looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah.
What can you say to them to maybe reassure them in terms of what, you know, the students you're talking to are what they're thinking and where they're coming from?
Yeah. I think a lot of students are very aware of the concerns from homecoming. They're very aware of the after effects walking through the neighborhood the next day and all the concerns about garbage and, you know, the concerns about behavior on the day of. And I think a lot of students do say, that's not me. That's not what I want to portray. But let's be realistic. There are going to be students out and community members out who are enjoying St. Patrick's Day. It's going to be visible again. So what we have done is tried to really be clear in our messaging with students about what those expectations are for the day. I was out with police last week doing some very targeted neighborhood visits to houses that we've had concerns with over the year and talked to those students about, you know, don't anticipate a warning from police or bylaw. Anticipate a ticket right away. Be really smart. If you're inside with your friends and you're having a drink and you want to walk to another house that's two blocks away, don't take your drink with you. You know, like, let's be respectful of our neighbors. Don't throw that cup on the ground. And if you do, be ready, because there's going to be police and bylaw very visible and they're going to be quick to act. And I think that that is something that we've talked about and with the different groups that we work with, is being really responsive right away to the concerns that neighbors have raised from homecoming and past issues, so that the message is clear, the impact is clear, and that we see different behavior this time around.
You know, in your role as one of the VPs of the CSA, you're obviously in a position to talk for students. So, as a student representative, given what happened on homecoming, you know, what were your thoughts then? What are your thoughts now?
So I actually was in Guelph on homecoming, and I had a couple friends visiting who had gone to school, but then or just back for the weekend. So I actually drove them around the city, and like on the day of, it didn't seem like it was as wild as I heard of it afterwards, but and then seeing like pictures on Facebook and like people's comments on Facebook afterwards, I like it kind of clued in that like, whoa, it was a wild day, just not in the areas that I was. And then afterwards, I was invited to a homecoming town hall held in one of the public schools, like in the main area, I think Ward 5, by the city councilors. And there was a lot of upset neighborhood, like people in the neighborhood, they were really upset. And I was on a panel, which I didn't know I was on a panel until I showed up. And I actually showed up like 5 minutes late because I didn't think I was actually on the panel.
Right.
But I was actually the only only student on the panel. And everyone else were like police or bylaw, university reps, neighborhood reps. And then I'm pretty sure I was the only student in the room. Like, I could probably make that assumption. And I had felt like it was a witch hunt, but not intentionally.
Right.
But it just like
a lot fell on you because you were the young face in the room.
Yeah. I was like the one student voice in a sea of like upset neighbors. And there were some really good things that they had brought up about like rooming houses and like nine people living in a house. And I was like, that's actually a concern of students as well. It's like we have similar concerns of like party houses, because oftentimes people live in houses with six or more people because that's what they can afford.
Right.
So it was like nice to find out that we had similar concerns. But yeah, I feel sorry for some of the neighbors and like in the neighborhood, because like I bet you there are some instances where people were really out of line, but I just personally don't know anyone like that. But and also like it's a good day to have like a fun day, and it was just so nice out, like why not take advantage of the warm weather, like while it was still warm, because it's really cold now.
Right.
But yeah, no, I get both sides, where it's like students just want to have a fun time, but the neighborhood also like was upset. So
well, you raise a particular point, and it's a point I try to make when I have conversations about this, is that, you know, not all university students are cut from the same cloth, as it were, and I think you and I come from a very similar place where we were here and we were involved, so we didn't have time for the ragers. You know, we were busy. Yeah. You know, I was working at the newspaper, you were in student government. But you know, that's, you know, you go to these town halls and you become the vestibule of all those frustrations. And so how do you message that, that, you know, this is a small group of, mm-hmm. of people who, you know, perhaps didn't intend for things to get out of control, but stuff gets out of control when you start posting invites to parties on social media, and it just, the word of mouth gets around, and all of a sudden a gathering of, you know, 10 or 20 friends becomes 100 and 200 quote unquote friends.
Yeah. Well, like, the nice thing is, like, I didn't actually, even though I'm, like, was the student at the town hall, I actually wasn't the one who had to say, like, it's not all students,
right.
Which is nice. Like, members of the university had, and even bylaw had said it wasn't every single student. And
right.
actually, they noticed a trend that it wasn't even Guelph students. A lot of the time, it was, like, visiting students. So, because, like, I've been in that situation before where I visited a friend and I was like, well, I don't live here. Like, I don't know these neighbors. Like, I'm going to be a little bit louder than I would normally do. But, so that's a, it's like kind of interesting that, like, it isn't all students, but it is, like, a, just generally, like, a really easy person, like, group to blame is students, because mm-hmm. students are normally in that 18 to 22 age range. And
mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's somewhat ageist to blame it all on students, but it is, like, in this particular case, it was students who were creating the commotion. It wasn't other members of the community. It was the students. And it was, like, a student-led, like, event. Like, the homecoming is for alumni, former students, and current students.
Right.
So, like, that's why it just has, like, it's an easy target to blame is the students when it isn't everybody.
Does that worry you that, you know, I guess there's no other way to say it, but, you know, young people are being profiled in the community. If, you know, someone sees someone that looks as youthful as you and a couple of your friends move into the house next door, they're going to assume that trouble will ensue.
Yeah. Like, it actually is a, ageism is actually a problem when it comes to tenancy. A lot of times landlords, there's, again, not all landlords, some really good landlords, some really bad landlords.
Hashtag not all landlords.
Yeah. but there are landlords out in the city who, like, take advantage of students not knowing, like, about tenancy law or about the RTA, the Residential Tenancy Act, or they don't know about that you don't have to sign a new lease every year. It goes month to month. So there are, like landlords who are ageist against students and take advantage of them
right.
in that way. And then as well, also I've seen advertisements for classifieds for rentals saying mature students only or grad students only. And that's problematic because a lot of the times students, since we're paying 10 grand in tuition every year, we have to like live in areas that are like more, that are like a more affordable and
right.
and not necessarily like actually legal. I've lived in a couple of illegal units in Guelph just because that's all I could afford, and I couldn't afford to complain about it because I would have to find new accommodations that were more expensive.
Right.
So that's kind of what happens with students. It's like you often live in these neighborhoods because it's more affordable, not necessarily because it's the student area.
Right.
Versus like Kitchener-Waterloo, I have a lot of friends who go to Laurier, and they like live in the student area, but like Guelph doesn't necessarily have that. Like
right.
there's areas where it's more like heavily populated with students versus other areas, but there's no like Ezra Street where it's like all students. That's like the unique thing about Guelph is it's a mix of neighborhood community members and students like in the same neighborhoods.
And that should be an appealing or a selling factor that, you know, you become part of a community, but there's still a, from the sounds of it, some segregation because of you know, maybe unfair impressions of what a student is going to be doing in their rented home. Getting back to parties and homecoming and all that, though, what were you hearing from your students, like your peers? Because there was a very strong reaction from the town, quote unquote, the town. And I'm not sure, and this is why I wanted to have you on. I'm not sure there was a balance from the student side of things. And I don't mean the people who were holding the parties, but I mean the ones who felt genuinely upset and angry or sad that their peers, because, you know, as we've been, you know, discussing here, you know, a few bad apples and the whole bushel is rotten. And so was there a strong reaction from the students that you heard?
I would say actually no. In comparison to like the reaction from community members, that was a lot stronger and a lot more elevated than any reaction I heard from students. Like, because I think maybe it's just because we communicate in different ways. Mm. For, like community members, they'll hold town halls or they will write to the newspaper or they'll call into radio stations versus like students comment on Overheard. I read a lot of comments on Overheard of students, like it would be a community member making a comment about trash or like disturbances. And then a student like commenting back saying like, I apologize. Or like it's, or saying it's not all students. Like we are trying to be respectful in this community. This is like our temporary home, et cetera. Like that kind of like language. And then also like students, there's a couple students like on Overheard Facebook mentioning like,
yeah,
I can party, it's my time to like relax.
Right.
But that was like very minimal, yeah, which is like kind of contradicts the stereotype of like the party student who has money to burn. Because I like my general like view of Guelph students is we're not all party students with money to burn.
Right.
Because we're all in debt. you know, education's expensive. but yeah, no, it was like definitely more of a community like a base topic, like community talked about it right, more than I think students did.
You think the students need to talk about it more?
Potentially, yeah. I think also just students holding other students accountable.
Right.
Like in the situation where if you have a party of 20 people and then it turns out to be 120 people, like helping your friends out if that happens. Like I've been at people's houses before where it was only intended to be like 20 to 30 people and then 100 people showed up.
Right.
So helping your friends out in that way or holding your friend accountable for doing something like dumb on the street, like don't tell them like, oh, rethink that. Like maybe you shouldn't push over that garbage can or maybe you shouldn't like, the, you know, pick up your garbage or don't use bottles, like take cans. Like that's right, a great way to like prevent injury and waste. So like just doing like small tips like that. Like I'm from a small town where like I'm from Walkerton where we have big ball tournaments every weekend in the summer. Well, not every weekend, but every year, like have like three or four. We have homecomings on the regular, like big big events, yet like with like similar age group of the 18 to 22 group, but definitely not the same kind of like community reaction. So there's a way to do it like successfully, but I think it's just you need to hold yourself a little bit more accountable and think like, is this a bad idea, yes or no? And then and then fix it before it becomes a really bad idea.
So is there anything that the CSA has done as a, as an institution, you know, you the CSA works with various groups, but internally?
I like through my role of external affairs, like I've attended a lot of like community committees where actually I'm the only undergrad student on the committee. So it's like a lot of pressure for me to like think of like what the students would want and or like how to like best express these views to the like to the city or actually neighborhood groups as well. But like the CSA, we haven't particularly done anything like the university prepared a video and we haven't done anything like that. But through my role of VP, I've been sitting in conversations like with the city and expressing that like students have like tenancy issues. And like that's the reason why students have to live in certain areas and or just even talking to Guelph Transit about because one thing I noticed about on homecoming, it was the first really busy Saturday with the new route realignment. Right. So it was like really the first test of like the Saturday or like the weekend bus schedule.
Right.
So I mentioned that to Guelph Transit is saying that like students lingered in areas because the buses were on a different schedule than what people were used to or bus drivers weren't maybe necessarily like used to that load yet because they hadn't been like given that many people like moving around the city and on once on a Saturday. So what Guelph Transit is prepared to do is to have extra buses on St. Patrick's Day to like help with the load and help drivers actually like not feel stressed about driving on a Saturday.
You know, this is kind of off the top of my head, but you've brought it up a couple of times. You kind of being the only person representing undergrad students there. And it does seem like maybe a lot of the root of these problems are that the students just aren't there, either because they're not invited or they feel like they're not going to be welcome, or perhaps, you know, there's a bit of, you know, they should be volunteering themselves to sort of step up. But, you know, is there a lack of student involvement? you know, and would that help, do you think, mm-hmm. that if, and what would that look like? And I realize that's those are some big ideas I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but,
yeah.
you know, the load shouldn't just be on you as, because you have a position in mm-hmm. student government that, you know, you're still representing 20,000 people. Surely one or two others might be able to mm-hmm. step up as well.
Yeah, it's like a... It's like a couple factors. Like part of it is that oftentimes when admin have committees or like working groups, they like fill their student quota by inviting the CSA. They're like, check, done, invited the CSA, they're going to come. And then for a grad perspective as well, like they'll invite the GSA.
Right.
So like that's like they're done, two students. But then also just like when it comes to students even just being involved with the CSA, like there's no system. I know at other student unions, like particularly at U of T Mississauga, they have like a group of student volunteers that like if there are like university committees, they like go onto the committee.
Like a jury pool.
Yeah, kind of like that. Like that's actually somewhat how UC board works, is like it's majority students, but trying to get students to sit on the UC board is like kind of a struggle because it's either people don't know about it or they're not interested or... they just don't know how. Like there's a lot of like barriers keeping students like voices away from admin committees, and also just like there's a lack of like information, or not a lack of information, it's just a lack of knowing where to get the information about
right.
the CSA, like but you know, CSA Online, like csaonline.ca, that's our website. Like, so that's something that, like, in my next year, I want to continue that communication, even if it's just, like, myself tabling more in the UC so people are like, I have a general CSA question, like, you can ask. So, and also, just if students are curious, like, just come to the front office. Like, there's always somebody there, like, Monday to Friday to answer questions or, like, direct where to go. But, yeah, it's, like, student involvement's really tricky because it's either people are not interested at all or they're interested but don't know how to get involved. So it's like a tricky balance of that.
And once again, that was Guelph Police Chief Jeff DeReuter, Counselor Kathy Downer, Catherine Hoffer of the U of G Student Life, and Kayla Weiler, VP External of the Central Students Association. Will St. Patrick's Day revelry live up to expectations or overcome them? Stay tuned. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, and Sid Dale, the host for the Guelph Politicast, is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph, and you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon anytime at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.